There's a little bit of paro inside of each and every one of us. That's one of the central chidushim of the second parak of Maseilas Yesharim. It's one of the central chidushim of the Ramchal in laying out the first step, the first practical step. Last time we had a chance to, Baruch Hashem, complete the first parak of Maseilas Yesharim, the first parak which you'll remember was meant to be sort of the prologue, the preface. Before we can get into the guts of Maseilas Yesharim, the guts of the practical step-by-step handbook, so you want to lay out some basics, some hashkafic basics. This is the foundation of everything we're going to do is going to rest on having clarity about a couple of basic questions. The big questions: why are we here? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan? How should we be investing our energies? And he spoke about in Perek Aleph, Olam Hazen, Olam Haba, and understanding that there's so much more. What you see is not everything that you get. There's so much more than what you see, and that makes Olam Hazen not less important, but much more important, and much more significant, and significant in ways that by looking superficially just at the here and now, you would never appreciate how valuable Olam Hazen actually is. Olam Hazen is valuable exactly because it's not the entire story. And the mail of that impacts the significance of which we value the decisions that we make. It impacts where our goals are, where our dreams lie. And as he had opened the first parak, a clarity about machal vaso ba'olamo, the first question, a clarity about what our purpose is and what our responsibilities are, will yield greater clarity about lemaat tzarich shiyasim ma batol ma gamaso b'chol asher hu mel kol mechayav. Where am I supposed to be? Where do I set my sights? What's the target for the energies of the sum total of the energies of a lifetime? So with that in place, it's now let's get lemaisa. Now let's get lemaisa. Step number one. And I think we had scratched the surface of this last time. Step number one is zehiras. And it says, what's zehiras? That's from Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's A leads to B, which leads to C, which leads to D. The first one is Zahiris. Torah brings you to Zahiris, learning perhaps Torah in general and perhaps specifically these ideas of Perek Aleph will bring you to Zahiris. So what is Zahiris? So he had said, let's come back to the opening lines of Perek Beis with a very classic Ramchal style definition where at first it seems like he's being circular, and then you realize then he unpacks it more and more. He says, Zahiris is to be Zahir. Zahiris means to be Nizar b'maisovu v'inyanov, to be Nizar both about actions and about bigger picture topics, which he had said, well, what does it mean to be Nizar? Misbonein mifakech ha'masov v'drachav. To be misbonein and to mifakech, to spend time thinking. I think a number of writers on Ramchal point out that when he used the word hisbonus, he means meditation. So sometimes I think Americans often think of, like, we hear the word meditations, right? We think about like lotus position and sort of like levitating a few inches off the ground. Meditation, as Ryan Kaplan points out, and he was certainly a man who had a lot to say about meditation, Ryan Kaplan points out that meditation doesn't have to be anything heebie-jeebie. Meditation means, it's not even necessarily spiritual, though the Ramchal is definitely using it in a spiritual context. Meditation means thinking about something with sustained focus. To actually stop and think about an idea in a deliberate, extended way. We're often so busy, and it becomes clear from this parak and the next parak in Maseilas Yesharim, the following will sound very familiar. And the following might sound like it's, you know, a recent problem, but in fact, it's always been this way. Now, we often get so busy with stuff that we don't actually stop to think. Just to think. To set aside. We're so busy, like, doing, always moving from this to that. Like, we think about things usually while we're in motion, either physically, mamish in motion, like we think about doing things as we do them, or if we're not physically in motion, maybe I'm standing in one place, but we're always like sort of in our heads, like moving on to the next thing. busy doing this, that, saying something as opposed to just pausing to consider. And he says that the first step in growth is to be misbonein, to train ourselves to actually stop and think in a targeted way. The truth is, we're going to see, Emirtz Hashem, if we continue deeper into the Sefer, that the idea of hisbonenus isn't just zeirus. Hisbonenus is going to be a thread that runs through much of the Sefer. And as he gets to later midos, and he talks about how the darche hakinyan of other midos, how do you, said for every midah, he defines it in basic terms and then sort of unpacks the details and then talks about how to be kona and pitfalls to avoid. So lehisbonein comes up in the darche hakinyan of many later midos. He says, you want to pick up midah X, you want to pick up midah Y, you need to spend some time being misbonein on as with X. So think about the following idea. For instance, he talks about the next midah of zerizos. He says, one of the portals into acquiring zerizos is to be misbonein. There, it's the content is be misbonein chazdei Hashem. That's going to come later as well. Be misbonein this, be misbonein this. The capacity to actually think in a focused way is one of the motifs of the entire sefer. But the first midah itself is his bonus. Misbonus will be tools for later on too, but zehirus itself is his bonus, and specifically his bonus about my life, to actually spend time exploring, thinking about my life, my maisim, specific actions, and my drachim, the overall trajectory, the overall path that I'm on, hatovim heimim lo, to stop and take stock from time to time, to actually consider, am I making good decisions, am I making bad decisions, am I happy with where I'm headed, or not. He says, as opposed to living life on autopilot, levilti azov nafsho l'sakana sa'avadon chas v'sham, as opposed to sort of let my life just roll, and then I'm risking that things could just, I could be going in a totally self-destructive direction, and I'm not even thinking where I'm going. V'lo yelech b'hamahalach hergelo ki iver ba'afela. He says, don't make the mistake of just, it's a very vivid metaphor, very poetic, not to walk on the path of my hergel, not to just sort of, there's just habit and there's just a groove that I'm in. I'm just sort of going on the groove, ki iver ba'afela, like a blind man in the dark. You know, Chazal make the comment that the blind man in the dark is one of the images of the tochacha. I think the Tanya Rabbi Yossi said he was very bothered. You know, I mean, the pasuk says the Klal Yisrael at the time of the curses will be cursed. Will be like a blind person in the dark. Blind person in the light doesn't matter to him whether it's light or dark. He doesn't see with his eyes anyhow. Until Rabbi Yossi realized, but a blind person in the light might be helped by sighted people who can see him in the light and can see the surroundings in the light. Iver ba'afela means you're sort of, you know, I'm limited and I'm not able to access external help. So he says, if I don't, you want to know how powerful it is, the power of self-reflection, the power of contemplation, the power of leading an examined life, to lead an unexamined life, to borrow the Cartesian term, but that's what Ramchal is talking about, to lead an unexamined life where I live without self-reflection, that's ki'iver ba'afela. I'm just in a groove of habit. Hopefully it's good habits. Hopefully I'm doing good stuff. But I'm just, you know, it is what it is. I'm not access. There's no access to self-improvement. There's no access to help because I'm not even looking in the mirror and seeing where am I going. I'm opening my eyes. He says, you know, animals instinctively seek self-preservation. How could I just, and he goes on a couple lines later, he says, animals have an instinct for self-preservation. They're going to seek to avoid something that might harm them. A human being walking through life without reflection, without contemplating, im tova darko or ra'a, am I on a good path? Am I on a bad path? Am I on a productive trail? Am I using life, the opportunity of living well, or am I just sort of wasting it? So to go through life without thinking about how I'm going, Hinehu kesuma ha'olech asfas anar. A blind person walking along the beach. Now that's asking for trouble. He may end up doing well, but but the risk is great, and there's not much, there's nothing being done to mitigate that risk. Sakanoso vaday atzuma. The risk is incredible. Ra'aso krova hatzalaso. And more likely than not, that you end up in trouble. Now he says, so the suma ha'olech asfas ha'nahar, he has no choice. He's not able to see. Oh, he cannot open his eyes. But the Ramchal says, ulam chesron ha'shmira p'nei ivron tivi, or p'nei ivaron ritzoni. Whether it's a natural built-in blindness, or it's a willful blindness. I'm closing my eyes. Stima sainayim bevechir vechefetz. Choosing to close my eyes when I could open them, echadu. Blind is blind. Yeah. So again, and as I said before, you know, we might think, oh, this is like a modern problem. We're so busy with our smartphones, and the work schedule is so crazy, and increasingly so. Work schedules 30 years ago weren't like what they were 100 years ago. Historians of work trace the point at which managers began to work longer hours than the people whom they supervise. I forget how many decades ago that was. 100 years ago, that wasn't the way it was. 100 years ago, managers worked fewer hours than the people they supervised. At a certain point, that switched. Things have become busier and busier and busier. Even before we all had, you know, work emails accessing us in our pockets at all hours, things are already getting busier and busier. That certainly accelerated it. Ramchal says this problem is, don't delude yourself into thinking that smartphones and email in your pocket created the problem. They maybe exacerbate a natural tendency, but this problem is as old as the hills. The problem of not, you know, not thinking about life because I'm just busy. He said Yirmiyahu talks about this. Yirmiyahu. This takes us back almost 3,000 years ago. Certainly 2,500 years ago. The end of the period of the first Beis Hamikdash. Yirmiyahu complains about this. Misonein al roa b'nei doro b'nei heyosam niguim b'nega amida azos. His contemporaries, the Jews who lived before and during the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, ma'alimim einemim ma'aseim bli she'asimu lev l'ros ma'hem halei ha'sosim le'azev. They chose to not look in the mirror. They chose to not self-reflect and self-inspect. He says, "Einish ishni," and he gives a very vivid metaphor. Einish nichama ra'aso. He says, "Nope." No, he looks around and he doesn't see any of his neighbors, you know, actually making decisions, actually thinking, you know, maybe I should change things up. No one's nichama ra'aso. No one's rethinking. That's imagine a horse on a battlefield, and it's frightening, and suddenly the horse is like full gallop, darting away. This horse is in full gallop. He's just going. He's not stopping to think, to consider, to calculate. He's just running. So Yirmiyahu says, but I look all around me, and the human beings all around me are kesus shotiv bin milchama. Rodfim v'holchim b'mrutas hergelim. They're flying along, pursuing goals, but just pursuing goals along mrutas hergelim, along the racetrack of habit. There's no zman l'dakdek al-mas madrach. They don't leave themselves time to rethink, to recalibrate actions, to recalibrate paths and trajectories. So then no flimbarab, liraosasa. If you're going to close your eyes, so you're going to make mistakes and you're not even going to see them coming up because your eyes are closed, because you're blinkering yourself. I mentioned before I got some quizzical looks. There's a little bit of a paro inside each of us. He says, Parsha Shemos, Baruch Hashem, now we're up to Parshas Mishpatim. The second half of the story of Kabbalah Satorah. So this is already stages in stages in Geula. But at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, when we're learning about Galus, so Ramchal points out there's something that Paro says, that Paro said, there's a historical figure, Paro, who said this about the historical Jewish people. But the Ramchal sees poetically that it's also sort of like a metaphor for Yetzer Hara. Take a look. He says, Zos be'emes achas mitachbulos ha-Yetzer Hara v'armoso. One of the wiles of the Yetzer Hara is la-hachibid avodaso besmidus alibos b'nei adam, to see to it that we're so busy with stuff. Actually, shorlem revach le-hizbonin le-hiztakel be'ezer derech im-hochem. You just don't have time. And again, this sounds so contemporary, and it is contemporary, but it's not only contemporary. This is an old problem. Just being so busy that we never have time to think about what we're doing, because we're so busy doing it. It's because the Yetzer Hara knows. Ilulei hayusamim libam. If we took the opportunity to reflect, kemat katal darcheim vaday. Of course we would change up. We're good people. We're good people. We're good, decent, religious people. And if we would stop and think and calculate and say, whoa, where am I going? Of course we make changes. So the first thing the Yetzer Hara wants to do is just to keep us from thinking. He says, if we had a chance to think, we would be misnachemim asem, we would regret mistakes we've made, and charata oleches miskaberes, and that sense of regret of charata would grow within us, and eventually it would lead to good action. Oz machet lagamri. So the Yetzer Hara realizes that the path to growth, the path to behaving better, starts with thinking. So the Yetzer Hara is going to try and cut us off at the path and not let us get to step one. Step one is the hearers. Step one is self-reflection. Step one is in here, in my head. So the Yetzer Hara tries to keep us so busy we never think. He says, I raise him, and here he goes. The Paro within. Paro harasha. So this is Paro's idea. Paro's stratagem. At the end of Sefer Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, let my people go. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rosha wants Klal Yisrael to let the Jews go. Liberty, freedom. And what does Paro say? Twist the screws more. Tichbar havoda. Why? Why? So, offhand we would say, punitive. I'll teach you a lesson. You're going to come and complain about how things are. I'll just make them worse. I think that's the way we would usually read the pasuk. Tichbar avoda, Paro's response to Moshe's initial meeting with him, we were just going to make the Jews work more, so that way Moshe will learn his lesson and won't come back. But Ramchal says it's more than just bop you over the head so you won't try this again. The language al yishuv divrei shaker. Pasuk said tichbar havoda, make them work hard so they won't listen to these false, quote unquote, false things that Moshe is saying. He says, you know what that means? It's not just punitive. It's much more psychologically profound what Paro is saying. It's exactly what we're saying. Paro didn't want to allow, he was scared of what would happen if the Jews had time to think. So they're already thinking about freedom. They're already thinking about liberty. If I let them think more, they may actually, stuff's going to happen. So let me just keep them so busy they won't have time to think. There's no time. They were so busy. Built it so they won't be no sein lev. There won't be some eitza. He wanted to render the Jewish people unable to have any hizbonus, any focus. Thought hasmadas havod building mafsekes. They would just always be working. So that's what the Yetzer Hara does. So there is a little bit of power inside each of us. Because there's that natural natia to just be busy with stuff. And often busy with good stuff. Sometimes busy with silly stuff. Sometimes Rachman san busy with objectively bad stuff. But even when we're busy with good stuff, with wholesome stuff, even when we're busy with good stuff, sometimes you have to stop doing good stuff, stop doing in order to think. Unless you think that seems a little odd, that I'm doing good things, I should stop my mice and totem. So Stephen Covey, in a not identical but somewhat similar context, so he points out, well, imagine the following. So imagine I drive for a living. I'm an Uber driver. It's my main job, it's my side hustle, whatever it is. That's my main job. I drive for a living. So time is money. Okay? 20 minutes behind the wheels, and 10 minutes sometimes is another fare, another X number of dollars. So whatever time I have to spend on driving, I want to maximize the number of drives I can get in within the X number of hours that I have. So I'll try to do whatever I can do to position myself right, try to pick up, try to make things as efficient as possible. But for most of us, you change your oil, let's say if you're still on the 3,000 miles or 3 months, I think for many of us that's around the way it works out, around 1,000 miles a month, depending on how much some of us commute more, some of us commute less. Right? But if you're driving for a living, 3,000 miles, even 5,000 miles, a week or two, you got to change your oil. At first, this guy is driving, and he's trying to keep up with every 3,000, every 5,000 miles to change oil. This is crazy. Every 2 weeks, I'm knocking out an hour or two of driving time for the car to sit in the garage. This is absurd. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I got to cut back. I'm making too much money. I can't afford it. But that's absurd. Obviously, that's ridiculous. Yeah, in the short term, you're going to make more money by not changing the oil. But you're going to pay for it a month or two when that engine just goes. And that's going to cost you way more. And you're going to, in terms of losing time, you just lost your vehicle entirely. Or the even more obvious, to say, I'm too busy driving, I have no time to gas up. That's the most absurd thing in the world. But I am involved in Meisim Tovim. Yes, you're involved in Meisim Tovim. But your Meisim Tovim need to be fueled. Your Meisim Tovim need to be lubricated. To just do and never stop for the tune-up, in the short term, it seems to pay off. But in the long term, it gets in the way of the things you're trying to do, the very things you're trying to do. He says, carving out the time to think. I'm so busy. Even if I'm busy with goods, I'm busy with Meisim Tovim. I'm busy learning. I'm davening. I'm helping people. I'm taking care of my family, and they may all be good things. Sometimes they're silly things. Often they're silly things. Even if everything is good. But still, carving out the time to be mizbonin, changing the oil, will vastly increase the impact of all the rest of the time. Then the 5% of the time, the 2% of the time that I'm spending on his bonus, I'm getting off of the treadmill to stand on the side and look at the treadmill, stand on the side and look at where am I going, how am I going, and why am I going, and what do I want to tweak, that will vastly multiply the impact of the other 95, 98% of the time that I am going and doing and moving. It's fascinating. The beautiful closing paragraph. I don't think we have time enough for the entire closing paragraph. So let's, for now, close with the first sentence and the first pasuk that he quotes of the closing paragraph of Perek Beis. Mircham, next time we'll pick up with the entire close of Perek Beis, and then we'll already move into Perek Gimel. We'll be netted next time. Perek Gimel, we're going to talk about the Pratim, Chelke Azir. Okay, so I like this idea. I'm sold. And what do I do? How do I actually do Zahirus? It's we'll see it in the next parak. It's Cheshba Nefesh, but there's more than only Cheshba. I told you how to do Cheshba Nefesh. What else is there? We're going to see it's very, very, very rich. Which of the third parak. But for now, let's close with, as I said, the opening line of the last paragraph of Parak Beis. He quotes over the course of the last paragraph a series of psukim and ma'amare chazal that speak to the importance of Zahiris. So let's close by just savoring the first one. He already told us, Yirmiyahu complains about this. He says, end of Parsha Shmos, is the story of Paro is also a metaphor for the dangers of being too busy. And here's now positive tzuvim that tells what you should do. The Navi Italian in the bottom is Chagai. The very beginning of Chagai, fifth pasuk, he says, literally, place your minds, pay attention to your paths, as we've seen throughout. Ma'isim, he keeps talking about ma'isim and inyanim, ma'isim and drachim. There's his bonus on specific actions, right thing to do, wrong thing to do, specific decisions, and also his bonus on the derech, the overall trail. Where am I going? Where's my trajectory? And what's fascinating about this pasuk, it is this instruction. The Navi says it directly: pay attention to where you're going. Don't just keep going. Stop. Focus. What road are you on? Where are you headed? What's fascinating also is context. This is the beginning of Chagai. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and three Nevi'im. Gemara says, I believe in Zvachim, Rebbe Elishon really was ready to turn off the faucet on Nevuah for Klal Yisrael at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, Gals Bavel. Rebbe Elishon decided three more Nevi'im, Klal Yisrael will have Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, who would accompany the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael and aid in the process of building Bayis Sheni. And that's the opening topic, that's the predominant topic in Nevuah's Chagai. Now what's fascinating is Chagai opens, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and they've already begun, they had begun the process of building Beis HaMikdash. We've all seen, construction projects that get, put on ice in the middle. But remember, the Beis HaMikdash, they'd started building the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine if we were building Beis HaMikdash. They started building Beis HaMikdash, and then there were political issues, not intra-Jewish, but external. And there was this roadblock, that roadblock, and they just stopped. The Chagai said, hello, do you realize what you're doing? You're in the middle of building Beis HaMikdash. You stopped building Beis HaMikdash? Where are you going? It seems, from the outside, it seems so obvious. But when you're caught up in your path, you don't stop to stand to the side and look from the outside. What do I look like? And what am I doing? And where am I going? It's so easy to get lost, on the way to building Beis HaMikdash. So Mirtz Hashem, the Zihiris is the first step. We're going to continue to explore what is this first step, how can we do it, and how can it vault us forward in the progress of Avos Hashem. Avos, I thank you so much. To be continued.
Thank you.
Thank you.